My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the biggest story of the week.
My name is... Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm Griffin McElroy, and today's gonna be different.
My name is Chris Plant, and I'm not the only Chris on this podcast.
Should I do it like Russ Rushdick? My name is Chris Grant, and here's the thing, we all know the same biggest story of the week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how this is gonna work.
It's Party Barn for the Wii U.
Woo.
Announced. Get ready. Prep it. Prep yourself. Prep your fam.
Party Barn exclusive.
It may not actually be called Party Barn. I am checking on that, though.
Griffin, I do need you to confirm whether or not it's called Party Barn. So, no, we're of course talking about the Wii U announcement and all the news that came out this week about the Wii U prices.
Funky
dates.
Barn. Funky Barn.
Funky Barn.
Funky Barn.
Funky Barn. Russ Freshtick is in the land of the rising sun, so he is not with us, and none of us have played any games. So we thought, hey, let's talk about this Wii U stuff. Chris Grant, our expert analyst, I think is fair.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to call him. I feel like we all have games, but we can't talk about them.
Yeah, I know. I'm playing Sherlock Holmes. So what's up? Yeah.
Griffin. Borderlands 2. It's
pretty cool. Nice. Yeah. Griffin.
Sup?
We can't keep bragging like this. Give us the dirt. What's the skinny on the Wii U?
Well, there was a saying yesterday where they talked a bunch about the Wii U, and it was Nintendo who was talking about it. So I think it's fair to say they were pretty bullish on it. Back to you, Justin. No, they announced the date. It's coming to the United States of America on November 18th. You get the basic bundle for $299. That's just the console with 8 gigabytes of memory, which is a joke.
Can you say it costs $300? Because
$299.99,
rounding that down to $299, that doesn't make sense.
Sure, it's $299.99. It's $299.99. And then, so that's the basic. You get the gamepad, you get HDMI cable, which is interesting.
Get controllers.
Retailers are crazy about that. No pro controller, but a pro controller didn't come in the other one. The other
or
one is
Wiimotes.
And no Wiimotes either.
No Wiimotes, yeah, but everybody has Wiimotes. Then there's the deluxe bundle, which is $50 more, it's $349.99. You get a 32 gigabyte console, which is... you also get the gamepad, you get a gamepad charging cradle, and you get access to the deluxe online promotion, which I forget the name of, which gives you a 10% rebate on all the digital titles that you purchase from
which seems like a crazy deal.
eShop store. Yeah, well, it lasts you through 2014, so it's not eternal.
Not permanent. But you also get one other big thing with that $50 bonus.
You get Nintendo Land.
It's like they said, look, for $300, we'll take a dump on your lawn.
Yeah.
But for $350, we'll give you a video game console.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make much sense.
It's crazy.
Because Nintendo Land is assumedly, I don't know, they may not charge full price for it. I think they'd be kind of crazy too. But retailers have it up for $59.99, which we also found out is the price of Wii U games.
Right.
What's funny about that?
I just think everything about this is the craziest thing. Everything about it is the craziest thing.
So just to set the tone before we kick into stuff, to follow up on Justin's was that a cackle?
Yeah.
Was that a cackle? So Chris Plant and I, the Chris's, were at the event yesterday in Manhattan, and I would define the general tone of the event during Nintendo's portion, it was bullish. The response from the press and the rest of the people there that I got from talking to them was, I think, intense skepticism.
Would that be I would disagree with you just from where I was on the home team. The mood was, well, that could have been much, much worse.
I honestly, you know what? Actually, hey, other Chris, do you mind playing a game of Q&A with me?
Sure.
Okay. First question, you know, I'm just going to ask some basic things that I think we probably know. What does the Wii U's main menu look like?
No comment, Chris.
Oh, okay. Well, how much do those game pads, how much do those cost, like, if I wanted to get one right now?
We haven't really made a decision yet since there aren't any games that use it, even though we already made a decision in Japan, so no comment on that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. A lot of your games, they're going to connect to the internet, right? So how does online work?
I mean, online is a really huge part of our strategy with the Wii U, but no comment. We're not really ready to talk about it, even though we announced the launch date in terms of days, not weeks or months. It's right. Literally in the days away, but we're not quite ready to talk about something that Microsoft pioneered on consoles 8 years ago.
So this launch, the launch window, yeah. We can expect that to be, you know, like no more than 2 months, right?
The launch window is actually between November 18th, the launch date, and the end of time.
Ooh,
it's roughly 80 million years.
I see. So this the digital pass you mentioned that comes with the deluxe edition.
Right.
How do I buy that? Does that just go on forever?
Well,
what is that?
Digital purchases and being able to download games, full games to your console, is a huge part of the Wii U strategy, which is why we start with a whopping 8 gigabytes of storage built in. And we want to use the store, which, by the way, we're not really ready to talk about yet in any detail, because the launch is, you know, it's 60 days away. We got a lot of time.
Can I actually ask, do they know, have they said if, like, my... all the virtual console games.
So they said out of Japan, they said that, but they did not talk about it yesterday at all.
No, they talked about
it. You know what it's going to be, right?
They talked about
it. You know you're going to have to, like, copy all of them to 17 floppy disks, and then you'll copy them over one time.
You are goofing. I had to move stuff from my 3DS to my 3DS XL. I had to copy that stuff to my computer, transfer it from thing to thing. Then I had to take out my SD card, transfer all the stuff off the SD card from my 3DS onto my computer, and then transfer that onto the bigger SD card that comes with the 3DS XL, which worked maybe the 35th time that I tried it.
No, I wasn't goofing. I was basing that on...
I mean, you are goofing, though, because you are kind of assuming that of the 32 gigabytes, because you're getting a deluxe model, you have no choice.
Oh, yeah,
because
I am.
Of those 32 gigabytes, you will use 25 gigs to install one game, because that's how big the discs are. And then you'll use the remaining 7 gigs to install a third, a fourth of another game.
Is the wait? What discs are they?
It's a proprietary disc. I think it's Blu-ray tech, but not full. You know,
yeah.
Blu-ray. I mean, there's just, like, a lot of leftover questions. For example, it's an entertainment device now, right? That's what they talked about. Does it play Blu-rays?
Does it play DVDs?
Nope.
Yeah.
Does it play DVDs? I mean, guys, the last one you said it was
Does it play DVDs?
I don't think so. I think, and they won't talk about it. Last time it was a gaming device, so they had that excuse. But now they're actually saying the third pillar is entertainment. But it probably doesn't play DVDs. That's just weird.
There's just nothing about it that... what it reminds me of is, like, a lot of the Nintendo TV stuff where they were showing you in this really bizarre... Like, we still don't understand. Like, they were watching TV, and I think it was live TV, but they were talking about, like, Hulu and Netflix and that kind of stuff. But then they were showing on the gamepad where you would, like, see reactions to what was happening on TV. And I honestly, I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
That was my favorite part, because what I think they were alluding to is that there is some intern who has to watch all of the live
every
TV,
single
all of it.
Thing.
So guys,
and they screen cap it, and they have to be like, oh, act two turn, so, Manny farted. Oh, Modern Family.
So Ross at the Verge, you know, he talked to the co-founder of ITV, which is the company that makes that software. I think he put a report up, but basically this isn't Wii U exclusive stuff. This is ITV. It's an existing platform. I guess it's coming to more devices later. It's not exclusive to Wii U. And the interface even apparently looks like the existing ITV interface. It's an app that you can get on like your iPad and stuff.
For our British listeners, I believe it is i.tv. It is not to be confused with ITV.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I actually have it. I've used it for a long time because listings are pretty good. But
so it's not a, you know, this isn't something Nintendo built in house. You know, Brian asked Zach Fountain, who was this entertainment guy that they brought up, about it. He asked him a question like, does this use Nintendo Network or any kind of Nintendo Network? And he said, well, in so much as it's on Nintendo devices and anything by fact of being on Nintendo devices part of Nintendo's network, then yes.
Oh, no. Even better. Part of their holistic internet connected universe or something. It was so open. It could basically mean that, like, you know, because it exists online, that is the Nintendo Network.
How can they keep doing this? They did this with the 3DS, didn't it? The 3DS launched sans eShop, right? Am I tripping?
So, yeah. No. That sounds right.
I think that's going to happen again. I would not be surprised if the Wii U launched with no online thing, and they said, you know, screw it, we'll add it in later. Which is banana cakes to me. I don't know how they cannot.
Well, and here's why I was laughing earlier about the game prices. This is the thing that I keep getting hung up on, and the thing that I find so mystifying about the Wii U experience. Setting the gamepad aside for a second, which, I mean, let's be honest, like, the Vita has a lot of that functionality that we've seen so far, and the, you know, Microsoft has talked about the same stuff, you know, via Xbox Live and Smart Glass. So it's not like so out there that it's gonna set the world on fire. Everything about this system screams 2005, 2006 to me. It's like they're coming to market now with tech that is comparable to what's already available, with pricing that is not competitive with what's already available, with games that are...
with internal specs that are...
And those things are going to be obsolete in pretty much every way that matters in 12 months. I mean, it's crazy to me. I don't understand the rationale of, like, let's be first to market with a new console, and it will be... I mean, headed for being obsolescence 12 months from now. Because that's, I mean, by all, you know, available signs, like, that's where we're headed.
So that this strategy worked with Wii, because they went after a different audience. And it was cheaper than the competition. It came out after the Xbox, came out the same time as the PS3. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of parts of the Wii strategy that helped it work. The difference here is that with Wii U, they're targeting it towards the core, right? We have Black Ops 2, and it's like, who wants to play Black Ops 2 and doesn't have an Xbox? Or who wants to play Black Ops 2 and would buy a more expensive Wii U? And even though their friends don't have it, even though there's still no discussion of the online multiplayer in a game that's all about online multiplayer.
Yeah, your friends don't have it. That's the thing.
But you could buy an Xbox cheaper. You could buy a PS3 that is also a Blu-ray player cheaper, and you know, still get it. So, like, the problem that they have is that they're targeting it towards the core. It's coming out at the most expensive price point. It's not the cheapest price point anymore. It doesn't look better. The games all look worse.
I wouldn't say. Do they really look? I haven't gotten real close up. I think the only games I played have been first party, which look
great.
Nintendo first party games.
Yeah, they don't look like, you know. It doesn't look like... Let's put it this way.
Well, I think it's graphically comparable for sure. Yeah. I mean, to the 360.
I don't know.
PS3.
I saw some... They released some Batman screenshots yesterday that look...
Wait, are you serious?
It does not look...
I've never seen it first person. I've only seen it...
Wii U. You know, so Madden. I mean, it looks like a... I don't even know what to say. It looks like a higher def Wii game. There is none of the effects, none of the visual filters, none of the, you know, kind of
Infinity Engine.
There's no Infinity Engine. If you look at the Transformers Prime game they showed, that looked like a first gen Wii game.
That looked terrible. I have no idea what they showed.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know.
That was one really jumped out at me. It's like, wow.
But even
guys.
If you look at other things, if you look at Mass Effect 3, if you look at Assassin's Creed 3, if you look at Black Ops 2, none of those games look as good as their 360 PS3 counterparts. That's strange.
Which is weird because especially with Black Ops, they're pushing it to another screen. I mean, they're pushing this out twice. Is that just to allow for that to happen without a noticeable degradation in quality?
Asked them, they didn't want to talk about it, but
of course.
You know, like the thing is, like, it is the first release of the system, and it's the first batch of games, and maybe it's going to take them a while to catch up, and that's fine. And I think, like, there's that fanboy in my head that's like, oh, well, give them a couple years because, you know, it'll over the life of the console, it'll probably look better than the competition. But they're not competing against Xbox in 2 years; they're competing against Xbox this holiday. And Xbox this holiday, games look pretty damn good. And Wii U this holiday, they don't look as good. So
it's amazing how much it reminds me of the Dreamcast. In terms of kind of just like not quite their versions of their, you know, big characters games with a lot of kind of weird, interesting ideas, but maybe a lack of cohesion.
The gamepad is a giant VMU.
It really is. And it feels
like
it.
And I think
it.
That because of that, I mean, like, if I'm being completely honest, like, and not just because, like, it's my job, but I will buy one. I think there's going to be really there will be a handful of interesting experiences on the console over its lifespan. I'm not even sure what those interesting experiences are right now, aside from, like, Zombie U, I think, looks pretty neat.
When Nintendo Land comes out, I could see myself having a lot of fun playing that with my girlfriend and my friends. Like, that is the kind of social gaming that I can get into. But it's not... I mean, I also want it to do the other stuff. Like, it would be nice if it did... The online is just the biggest thing for me.
It's crazy. Because what I was talking about with it's not just about how the console specs will be obsolete by the next generation. That's obvious, but it's nothing that Nintendo hasn't surmounted before. I don't think that metaphorically consoles are going to be the same things in the next generation that they are right now. I don't think that consoles are just going to be that. Forget, I don't think they will not be just a box that you throw a disc into and play a game on. Like, no matter how desperately Nintendo wishes it would stay that way, they're going to be more than ever before methods of delivery. I mean, they're going to be about storage, they're going to be about streaming,
or at least about cloud storage, which
yes,
but they also didn't talk about that. Like, so much of what I think is happening in gaming, so much of what is so important, I can guarantee you the Xbox 720 and PS4 and Ouya and a future Apple TV product and anything. It's all about that, the services, you know, that's the whole industry now. I mean, you know, I think Bezos said it, I think on stage on the Kindle event last week, and it mirrored a lot of gaming really well, where he said, we want to make money when people use our product, not when they buy it. And that's what the gaming industry has been doing for a long time. Right, subsidizing hardware to get people to use their ecosystems, and that's becoming, you know, the business model for all these tablets and phones and everything else. It's a business model I think the gaming industry is going to double down on in the next generation. But we and Nintendo are still making products that, you know, I think with a $350 price tag, they're making money off of day one for starters.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't seem services heavy, which is weird. Like, and I just, again, to me, it's baffling. It's also, I think, like, I don't know, there's a part of me that the kind of consumer advocate inside of me gets angry that a year and a half ago they went on stage and talked about how online was so important when they first announced the Wii U at E3 2011, about how online was so important. And here we are, you know, 2 months to launch, and they won't talk about it. And it's like, guys, a year and a half ago you said it's, like, super important. Guys, we finally got it online. We're going to do it. And here we are, and they're
and
nope.
Maybe they have something like completely crazy. And if first off, if you had something completely crazy, this seemed like an opportune moment to like to drop it.
Or you know, you're trying to, 6 months ago would also be a good time.
Yeah, let me tell you all the times they had to drop it. They pre-announced the Wii U in April 2011. Like, strangely, you know, we could have a big blowout at E3, but instead we'll release this little statement saying that, yeah, we're making a new Wii. So, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know? But, like, Apple doesn't do that, and they seem to do okay. But sure, whatever. So you pre-announce the Wii U. Then you go to E3, you show off the Wii U. Then you have a... there was a roundtable event after that. Then this year at E3, they had a pre-E3 live streaming press conference. They had the E3 press conference. They had a developer Q&A after that. They had a Smash Brothers Wii Nintendo Direct event like a month later.
They had the 3DS press conference. Was that the developer's press conference? The 3DS?
Yeah. No, there was a developer's one. There was also a Wii U Q&A, developer's Q&A. They had four press conferences this year. One for 3DS, because they spent so much time during the press conference talking about Wii U. That was their explanation. Then just yesterday they had three events, one in Japan, one in Europe, one in North America in New York. And like, they've had so many events to talk about stuff for one console, and there are still so many question marks. There are still so many unknowns. And they've also, despite all this transparency, let's call it in quotes, not only have they left a lot of questions, they've failed to build up a lot of anticipation. Like, all that work.
Read any. Like, there's no... I don't know what application of this I'm going to... What's the... If you think about the Wii and the success the Wii had, and I do cop completely to... I think the hardcore gaming enthusiast press was... caught off guard by the success of the Wii,
yes,
in large extent, and I'm looking for angles to which that isn't the case again. Like, I'm trying to figure out.
I think the skepticism that the hardcore press had about the Wii was borne out. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, in a weird way, it wasn't for them, but right. But you think about how it spread through the mainstream, though.
Yes,
it was that essential experience of. We're going to, it's tennis, right? It goes back to tennis. No, you don't have to learn buttons. You don't have to learn any of that junk. Just swing it and have fun. And that moment is what turned the Wii into a phenomenon. And I don't see anything resembling that moment with the Wii.
I think you can look at Nintendo Land and kind of see whether or not this whole enterprise is going to, you know, be a success or whether or not, you know, it's going to crash and burn. And I hate to completely overstate this, but you look at this game compared to Wii Sports. My parents are not going to play Nintendo Land because, one, it's a whole bunch of very traditional hardcore games, or just traditional games, like Metroid Blast is, you know, a third-person shooter. Balloon Fight is a throwback to the actual Balloon, whatever they call it, is a throwback to Balloon Fight from the NES. It's a lot of fan service for the hardcore, which is not going to appeal to, you know, the average person. And it's a lot of games that you have to kind of learn how to play games to enjoy. It is not tennis or bowling. So I think right off the bat, you've lost my parents, you've lost grandparents, you've lost all the hype that, you know, the Wii got. On top of that, the system emphasizes that gamepad controller, which is a pain in the ass to play standing up. So you're back to sitting down and playing your games. So it's not this, like, active, you know, go out there and have fun in front of the TV system. It is the most sedentary, you know, single-player experience I can think of, because you literally have to be sitting down to balance, you know, that controller on your lap while you're drawing on it for how
many hours. I don't know about that, because Wii U fit.
Well, so think about this, though. It's called gamepad, right? It's very obviously trying to evoke and, you know... take advantage of some of the excitement, anticipation, enthusiasm around tablets. The iPad has sold almost as many units as the original Wii, and it did it in 2.5 years. And it did it at $500. Add on to that all the Kindle Fires that have sold, all the iPod Touches that have sold. Like, people have a certain expectation about how a device like that works. The gamepad subverts that expectation. You know, when people, like, I can't take this outside my house. I can't run software directly on it. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, I think. You know, and I think people have an expectation of how tablets work. And the gamepad does not work
that way.
How
many people do you think will buy this system and try to take that tablet somewhere else?
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I mean
that could happen.
Absolutely. I think it will happen. I went to a short family vacation earlier this week for a day. But my mom was there, my aunt was there, my cousin was there. None of these people are gamers. My sister was there. None of these people were gamers. I was there. Guess how many iPads were in that house? And I'll also preface this by saying that none of these people are rich. Like, my aunt works two jobs. My mom, you know, is a realtor in a down economy. My sister's a vet tech. Like, these aren't people with a lot of money. They all have iPads. All of them. They play games on them. They watch movies on them. They all have iPads. It's weird. It's weird that they all have iPads. Like, I think it's strange. But they love the things, and for them, like, number one, they were the audience, or would have been the audience for the Wii U. They've already got iPads. The ones who don't will probably get an iPad. The ones who get the Wii U are going to be disappointed that it's not an iPad.
And do you really think that's...
If I see a game system that has a tablet controller, and, like, I have certain expectations about what I can do with that, I absolutely think that the average consumer, unless you target it to just the hardcore, which is what they're doing... We understand that it's not an iPad, but we also understand that a new Xbox comes out next year.
Hey, I had a question, and I don't know if you New York guys got an answer to this, but they were showing co-op, Black Ops co-op, on one player playing on the screen and one player playing on the tablet. Good luck flipping that coin, by the way. How are they pushing the video to the tablet?
It's coming out of the Wii U. The Wii U is pushing both screens. Yeah. And as a result...
But it's pushing the video...
Do you know what it's doing?
Wirelessly?
Yeah. It's wireless video distribution.
What you're doing is you're playing split-screen multiplayer, and it is... You know, like, how if you... think about it, like, have you ever played 3D split-screen, where both players wear 3D glasses, and one player sees positive and one player sees negative? Well, you can do that with some PlayStation games. So it's basically the same. It's creating a full-screen product, and then the second full-screen, rather than being a negative space... is being wirelessly used.
Which I get that. I'm saying, as far as the wirelessly transmitting it, like, I don't understand how that's happening without any sort of lag, especially with, like, a first-person shooter.
Yeah, I mean, everything. All their games do that.
We don't have much time left, and I feel like all this stuff we've talked about, people can decide for themselves. But Chris, you guys are at the actual New York event. Did you play something that you hadn't played before that just really resonated with you, or, you know, that you have any opinion on that was first time?
I'd played most of it before. The stuff I didn't, Black Ops 2. I mean, here's the thing. Black Ops 2 looked good. It wasn't the single player. It wasn't running at 60 frames a second.
Are you sure about that?
Eric Hirschberg said on stage that it was running at 60, and it absolutely did not feel like 60 frames a second when I played it. Then again, we played... split screen co-op at one screen on the tablet, one screen on the TV, and the idea that it would be pushing both of those and doing 60 is a little crazy.
But they've said that much. They've said that the frame rate would suffer whenever they push it to two screens. But I don't think they would sacrifice a 60. That's what they build their entire
right. I'm just saying that what I played wasn't 60.
Yeah, we didn't play single player
for multiple. We didn't play single player. We played co-op, but. Not co-op, we played competitive split screen, but it worked well. Like, it was fun to play it with two people in the same living room, on each having their own screen. I think the gamepad felt weird to me, and so did the pro controller, just because of the orientation, but you'll probably get used to that. But that, to me, it was a neat experience. It was a lot of fun. I can imagine a more unique game that wasn't available on every other console in the world. With a huge multiplayer component, would probably do better with it. But, like, that was a good proof of concept for me. It was also the first time you saw a game like Black Ops that looked like it's supposed to look on a Nintendo console. You know, this wasn't a weird, really low-res port. This was, like, the real deal. Now, granted, when, you know, Modern Warfare 4 comes out for Xbox 720, what's the Wii U version going to look like? I don't know. But it was, that to me was interesting, and it also kind of reinforced Nintendo's push for the core. Going around and looking at the rest of the stuff, you know, a lot of it was stuff that you've already seen or played. Ninja Gaiden, Mass Effect 3. It was mostly, you know, what was most notable was the delta between stuff that's already out, like Madden on 360 versus Madden on Wii U. I also think a lot of the Nintendo Land games do look like a lot of fun. And the fact that it's not coming in the $300 bundle seems insane to me. Like, you know, a lot of those games really do prove the model of having asynchronous like displays. So you're using like two different things. Like, you know, there were some things I'm not sure why they changed. Like the Metroid game became co-op instead of competitive. But I don't know.
No, there's a co-op mode and a competitive mode. They're explaining these things very poorly.
Each of these things has different modes. So you have like you know, what is it, 12 games, I think?
You have, I think, 12 games, but then like...
Each game is different.
Each game may have more modes, but they don't want to talk about that.
Either way, it seems like a lot of value. Like that one game has a ton of stuff in it. I don't know why you wouldn't want people to have it, considering Wii Sports has
sold Wii's for years. That's what's so baffling about it is that they don't see the connection between everybody having Wii Sports and everybody wanting to own a Wii.
I will say that the thing that is the bummer about Nintendo Land is it feels like a collection of iOS games. Very good iOS games, very polished iOS games, but not, like, all of it could be replicated using your iPad and iPhones. There's nothing like Wii Sports where it just felt like a creative wellspring. You know, like, everything couldn't be done anywhere else. You know, you had to own this because this was the only place you could play it.
But, like, the biggest promise that it has, and for me, that's exactly it, like, really polished iOS games. The reality is, they don't make iOS games that are that polished. You know, like, and the ones that are don't work that way. They don't have the same tactile controls. So, like, I'm sold on that as a core gamer who might be interested in this. I just also don't think it's an ecosystem I'm going to invest a lot of time or money into. I'll buy it at launch. I'll play Nintendo Land. I'm not going to buy my third-party games on Wii U. Like, you know, nothing they showed me, you know, proved to me that having the gamepad... Mass Effect, having the gamepad on Darksiders 2 was meaningful.
And you're certainly not going to, and this is another thing that's like, this is what I'm getting at. You're not going to buy your third-party games there now. You're certainly not going to buy your third-party games there in a year when they're being made.
Yeah.
There are no third-party games for it. Like, because who's going to also support the one that has bad graphics and you have to make two screens for it?
Well, not just bad. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to make a special version of it. That's not. I'm super into the idea of asymmetrical gameplay. I just do not see how it's sustainable from a developer standpoint. Because I think that the PS3, the next PS3, or the next PlayStation, and the next Xbox are going to be like fairly close to parity, and the Wii U is going to be miles behind and also require the development of all these special gamepad features. I just don't see how that's an appealing offer for developers.
Yeah.
I will also say this in terms of special gamepad features. We still don't know exactly the extent of smart glass for Xbox, which is going to work with your iOS device. It's going to work with your Windows Phone device and I think your Android device. It's going to have support for all those platforms. So tons of devices already in the market. Sony could do the same thing with Vita. We haven't really seen much of it yet, but you know, it's certainly possible.
Well, there's Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
They have the ability to do it. And the Little Big Planet crossplay Vita stuff that I've done where you use the Vita as a controller and an extra like self-contained world, that they can do it. They can swing it. It's the same stuff that the Wii U is doing.
And so it seems to me like I think Nintendo's going to have the luxury, just like they did with Wii, of having games that are custom built for it, and almost, you know, except for the third-party ports, but almost all, like, the original Wii U games will have, like, Zombie U, right, will have that integration, which is really cool. I don't think you're going to see that kind of integration on the third-party games. I don't think you're going to see that kind of integration on PS3 with Vita or on Xbox with Smart Glass, but what you will see on those other devices is the potential to have some of the shallower integrations,
which can still be kind of neat. Like, I could see that, like, inventory management and in a role-playing game that's on other platforms, like, I could see that being a huge draw for me to Wii U. I feel like certain genres even are I'm going to want to play, sort of like how I like playing first-person shooters on the 360. I could see myself playing strategy games and role-playing games on the Wii U. I would say just haven't shown any of that.
Yeah, and I would say as a wrap up, I mean, that's the problem. I think there still is a lot of potential for Wii U. I think what they had to bring to the table at this point, which was like their 10th time showing off the system and talking about it, they really had to like knock people out. And I left that event with so many questions and so many like feeling like there were so many missed opportunities. Why didn't you show an RPG with tons of stuff? Where was Pikmin? Like, you already talked, how was this stuff not a priority for you guys? And you know, I don't know. I just felt like they missed, and they've continued to miss, so many opportunities to really provide clarity into what they're offering people. And I feel like, especially if they're going after the hardcore gamer, to not even talk about, to literally ignore any kind of online feature besides, hey, we'll have Netflix, is bizarre. It's like, it's completely baffling, and it makes me very nervous for the longevity of the product. Like, if they're not able at this point in their life as a company to figure out online, well, the Xbox and PS3 are you know, on the cusp of redoing their things. I don't know. This was a day after Apple showed off asynchronous multiplayer on Game Center on iPhone 5, and Game Center's like kind of a mess. But the fact that it's kind of a mess and is still so much better and is still adding features than anything Nintendo's ever done is really telling.
And it's not, just so we're clear, and at least for me, this our negativity here isn't really about the price. I mean,
no, the price is fine. The price is price good.
It's just about what it's justified. Because like, if it cost $100, I still would be completely baffled about its long term
viability.
How it keeps itself relevant.
If anything, the date is the more shocking thing, because we are now 65 days out, and there, like, half of the things that there are to know about the console are unknown.
So, to be positive, to wrap this up, because maybe you've already pre-ordered your
review. I'm gonna buy one.
Maybe this came too late.
I'd recommend. I think if you're going to buy this, Zombie U looks fantastic, and it's a game that Ubisoft must be pushing money into in the last minute, because it looks so much better now than it did at E3, and it looked good then, but it is polished, it's running smooth. Hist are pushing every little idea they can into that.
It's also like the
gamepad.
It's also like the only. Really, it's good. Like the only core
after
game
that Nintendo Land is going to come with that deluxe edition, because you don't want to buy that stanky general edition. And then what? I don't know really if there's anything else to like recommend if you have another console, because I would seriously recommend buying it on something else. I don't even know what I'd recommend, you know, for pre-ordering down the line.
New Super Mario Brothers U, did you recommend that?
No. I mean, why do you need it? If Rayman has all the creativity, platforming, joy you need, I don't know. I don't know what Super Mario Brothers U does that the Nintendo Wii U, or like the last Nintendo Wii Super Mario Brothers didn't do, or 3D, the 3DS version. I struck
all
the Mario
games. Yeah, I have a hard
time
getting excited about it.
Man, it's derivative.
I think Zombie U is the best bet.
Yeah.
In terms of like an exclusive game that looks good, that's going to appeal to the core, that really uses the gamepad in unique ways, that's going to feel like different, Zombie U is it.
I think if you're going to have a chance at launch, you need two things. You need one thing that's there day one that people can get excited about, and then something down the line that they can look forward to. And like with Vita, for me, it was like there was cool stuff on the first day, you know, and then you had Gravity Rush to look forward to. Here, Zombie U is definitely worth a day one pickup, but like past that,
what Nintendo needs, other than online, to know how the internet works, they need like four or five more Ubisofts. Ubisoft has 6 launch day games. That's cray. They have even more games coming out for the rest of the launch window. But they have 6 games on November 18th that are going to come out alongside the Wii U. I think if everybody
but this is a weird case where, like, for me, it's not even about the games. I would trust that the games would come if I had any reason to think that this was going to be a successful effort, you know? They will support it if the... Now, will they support it with a bunch of mini-game trash like on the Wii? Who knows? But they will support it if it's successful. I don't see anything else about the console that says this has a chance to be viable long term.
Yeah.
But in closing, Wii U looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Pre-orders today.
I want to believe.
Me too. We are not haters.
I'm going to buy it. Like, I'm going to buy it, and then I'm going to sit there because I like being excited. I like the turnaround. I got really excited when the Vita started to it's still in the process of becoming a worthwhile investment of my money. But I'm like a crappy stockbroker who takes lots of risks, and a lot of them don't pay off. But the 1 out of 10 times that they do, it really gives my life meaning.
And in closing, Nintendo, please Google internet.
Google.
Figure out what Google is. And
go
then,
to a library. Like, talk to the librarian about what Google is, and then maybe they'll let you use the computer.
Show them your ID. Promise them you're over 18.
Here's the thing. Tiger made a system called game.com like a million years ago, and they knew what the internet was back then. I just don't get it. It's driving me insane. It's really bad.
Chris, will you buy one?
Yeah, I'll buy one.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, we're not talking about
that. Oh, in closing, we're all a bunch of fucking hypocrites.
I'm going to buy one, but I'm rich.
Yeah, I do it for a living. Yeah. This is my job. Like, I bought a Wii. I bought a Wii at launch day at midnight, Toys R Us, New York City. How much do I play it? I almost never touch it.
All the skepticism, and all the cynicism that we have about the Wii, I don't regret my Wii purchase. Like, Skyward Sword and Smash Brothers Brawl, like, I had a lot of fun with that system. And I'm sure I'll
have
a lot of fun
with the
Wii U.
Yeah.
My concern is not hatred or to bias. It's genuine concern that this thing isn't even going to get a shot. It's not going to get a fair chance. I like the idea of asymmetrical gameplay, and I think Nintendo is poised to deliver on it certainly before and possibly better than anybody else. And I'm worried. I really am worried about, like, an extinction event. And I really don't want that to happen.
Besties!
Besties! Besties.